We turn again this morning to the book of Proverbs and beginning in the third chapter. I remind you that what you're about to hear is the eternally true and trustworthy, inerrant word of the living God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. This is the word of the Lord. I'm blowing in the wind here. I think I'm going to. That'll work. Holy Father, send your spirit of wisdom upon us and open our eyes and our ears, our hearts, our minds to receive it. And this for your glory and for our blessing and benefit. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week I introduced the book of Proverbs as the beginning of a sermon series on wisdom for living well in a foolish world. I gave some background to Proverbs, many of the 800 Proverbs written by Solomon. I spoke about what a proverb is and what wisdom is, and I gave some steps for getting wisdom, and I urged us to get wisdom. Last week I said that as a rule of thumb or as a general principle for interpreting Proverbs, to remember that they are true, but they're not necessarily absolutes or guarantees or universal truths. But even that statement is not absolutely and universally true. Some of the Proverbs are absolutely and universally true without exception. And they are to be taken absolutely. One such proverb is our text this morning. Absolutely, universally true. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Now, there's a good chance that many of you know these verses by memory. It's right up there with John 3:16 for many Christians. And no doubt it is probably the most well-known and most memorized of the Proverbs. Now, I'm setting this before us at the beginning of this sermon series because this is going to be our guiding light. This is our North Star for every Christian. And you know what the North Star is, right? It's that star at the end of the handle of the Little Dipper, Polaris. And it sits almost directly over the North Pole. And for centuries, it has been everybody's celestial GPS. Before we had GPS, that was it. Because Polaris remains stationary, the rest of the night sky rotates around it, and because of that, it provides us with a very reliable fixed compass for celestial navigation. Our text is this. It is a foundational text for getting and keeping our bearings for a straight path through life. Now, it's not a formula for an easy life, but it is a description for the wise life, for living wisely. God and His wisdom are the fixed point, the center of the universe, the center of our lives. And He serves as that unchanging fixed point of truth and becomes the eternal focus for believers in their journey. Wisdom comes from God. And it is found when we turn to Him and trust Him with our whole heart and our whole mind and our whole soul submitting all of our ways to him. Every area of life to walk in his ways. So I set this Polaris text before us, and we begin 4 points from it. Wisdom begins with dependence. Trust the Lord. Trust. Childlike, unwavering confidence in our Father God's wisdom and power and faithfulness and goodness and love. Trust in his providence. Trust in his presence. Trust in his grace and mercy. Trust that he is the dispenser of every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Trust in the Son of God, who is the wisdom of God incarnate. Colossians 2:2. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Trust in the Holy Spirit, who works in our hearts to open our hearts to the wisdom of God, to teach us the truth. So wise living doesn't begin with mastering some techniques. It begins with resting in God and in God's character, and trusting that God really is God, that he really is in control, that he really does rule and reign over all the affairs of men and over all the affairs of our life. And so this is the beginning of wisdom. It begins with dependence, trusting God, believing he is able to do what he will, wise to do what is best, good to do what is best for us, and that this trust is exclusive. As we say in the marriage vows, forsaking all others for you alone, forsaking all others and anything else, we trust in the Lord. So wisdom begins with dependence. Then wisdom rejects self-reliance. Do not lean on yourself. Now, the truth be told, everyone leans on something or someone. The question is, what? Is what you're leaning on able to bear the weight? Now, human wisdom is not all bad, of course. Human wisdom comes from God. But human wisdom is not able to bear the weight of our ultimate trust, our hope, our confidence. Yes, we go to the doctor, but we trust God. Now, this isn't natural for us. Our sinful, fallen, selfish, proud nature makes leaning on ourselves our default mode. We make our understanding our God, our resources. Now think about how rare is it to find a person, especially a young person, who completely submits their wisdom and their will to God in all things. Who is there that does that? As soon as we encounter something in Scripture that contradicts our wisdom or the way we think things should be or the way we want to do things, we fall right back into our own understanding. And why is it that we can't trust our own understanding? Well, it's clear. Because ever since the fall, it has become corrupted. It's no longer a reliable guard, a guide. It's no longer like a North Star. Ever since we ate the forbidden fruit, we've kept on eating and doing stupid things. It comes naturally for us. It's our nature. Sin makes us fools because it makes us want to be our own God. And the essence of folly isn't low intelligence. It's this autonomous, self-reliant self-rule. We notoriously underestimate just how seductively deceitful our choices are, our actions, things that seem wise to us, beneficial to us. Sin is why we're proud. It's why we're defensive. It's why we lie or cheat or act selfishly, especially whenever we are angry or afraid or suffering or threatened. We need to be reminded of how untrustworthy our own wisdom is. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Too much we trust in our own feelings more than God's word, and we make decisions based on comfort or ease or success or the approval of others or whatever, rather than obedience. We assume that we know what will make us happy. And then we resent God's providential path when his way is difficult. Our culture, all around us, what is it saying to us? It's saying, follow your heart. Be true to yourself. Define your own truth. And don't let anybody tell you what's right for you. Just do what makes you happy. This is the air we breathe. And it's the exact opposite of Proverbs 3, 5 and following. Wisdom rejects self-reliance. Wisdom begins not with information, it begins with surrender, forsaking all others. We live in an age now when we have more information than all the previous generations in history, and maybe all of them put together. But we still lack wisdom. We consult Google before God. We listen to the influencers before we listen to Scripture. Renounce your trust and your dependence on your own wisdom, your own strength, your own ideas of what would be beneficial or a blessing, renounce your dependence on your works and your achievements and your successes. Talk back to yourself. Body, you are not strong enough and not as strong as you think. Brain, you're not as smart as you think you are. Will, you are not constant enough. You're not faithful. Resources, you are not sufficient enough. Speak this truth to yourself. Now, does this mean that Christians should stop thinking? If anybody's thinking that way, stop thinking that way. Of course you think. Of course you reason. Of course you plan and you act. But you don't trust in yourself. You don't just trust the doctor or the financial planner or the odds or the statistics. You don't take any of that to the bank. The fool says, I know what is best. I can manage my own life and I don't need God's direction. But the question is not, what do you think? The question is, what has God said? When we trust our own understanding, we're saying we're smarter than God. We're wiser than God. We can figure things out. And you know, doesn't that sound really like the definition of insanity to you? It's insane to trust our own limited understanding when we have available to us the unlimited wisdom and understanding of God. Now we're going to come to some proverbs along the way here that we may not like. We might disagree with. We, in fact, will probably think some of them are out of touch with the modern times and this modern world that we live in. They haven't kept up. And what are you going to do in those moments? What are you going to say to those proverbs? You can say, yeah, but lean not on your own understanding means to be humble before God's word. You're not as smart as you think you are, so don't be proud. Don't be wise in your own eyes. It's a fool's errand to think that you can sort out what is best and right and good and true for your life and in all matters ahead, that you can do that on your own. So, wisdom rejects self-reliance. Third, wisdom is comprehensive. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Now, I know that in your head, you know that God is God. And you know that God knows everything. You know that God sees everything. You know that God knows and sees every thought and every action and every secret and every sin. You know that, right? Intellectually, you're willing to go with that. But we don't live that way. We seem to forget it. There's a principle, a Latin phrase that somebody's attached to it, called coram Deo. Living coram Deo. Living, it means in the presence of God, or aware of the presence of God. It means before the face of God. Living coram Deo. Living your entire life, every moment, every place, every circumstance, every situation, under the conscious awareness of God's presence. Whether you're cleaning house or mowing the yard or paying bills or surfing the web or driving or working or playing or teaching children or camping or talking to a stranger, it's all coram Deo. It's all spiritual. It's all from God and for God and to God, in whom we live and move and have our being. This is staggering and life-changing if you really take this to heart. Make it your habit in every opportunity, in every moment, in every decision, in every question, in every conversation, in every doubt or fear or anxiety or trial or new opportunity or new choice in front of you. Make it your habit to say, God, I acknowledge you. That you are sovereign in every detail of life. And I know that you are present right here and right now. And I'm wanting to draw you into this situation, this need, this circumstance, this issue. What's going on? And I'm saying I want you to rule and to reign, to direct this with your wisdom and not mine. Now, this is it's a habit that you have to work on. You have to develop. You have to practice it over and over and over and over again. There is no aspect of your life that God's wisdom doesn't touch and have application. I know that might be a little challenging thought to you there, but there is no area of your life that is outside of the wisdom of God that we find in His Word and in Proverbs. So in these circumstances, in life, wherever you are in this moment when this thought hits you, say, what does faithfulness look like in this relationship, in this decision, in this habit, in this responsibility, in this choice that I'm making, in this way that I'm living? Don't compartmentalize your faith into Sunday morning or into just sort of religious activities. Live all of your life, whether at work or home or school or play or rest or retirement or wherever, live it as sacred and meant to be lived in fellowship and communion and relationship with God, that He actually has something to say about that moment and that place. In all your ways actually means in all your ways. Not some ways, not just the big ways, not just the spiritual ways, not just the ways when you want to, but all your ways. Live even the ordinary, most mundane matters of your life before the face of God, conscious of God. And God loves this when you do. He delights when we live for Him and aware of Him in all things, and He meets us there. Consider no circumstance or situation too big for God, and more to the point, and more to the challenge for us, no, not too small for God. And here is a new thought for me this week. Consider no circumstance or situation too clear, too plain. Meaning, even when you have complete confidence in what to do and what should happen and how it should go, that this is completely in your wheelhouse and you've got this, no questions, even then, Take it to God first. Lord, it seems obvious to me that this is the right plan of action, that this is the best course, that this is wise, but I know my ways and my thoughts can easily not be yours, and I can easily deceive myself. So, Lord, I invite you even into this. And can I just say, even without knowing the specific detail in your life, that some of you need to do that. In the most plain, obvious, clear thing that you think, and you are actually deceiving yourself, and you're living contrary to God's word, to Scripture, to what God says. You're living foolishly, contrary to wisdom. You're doing that. We're all fools, right? Think about that. Live life captivated by God and God's word. Live a life that doesn't put God in a box on Sunday morning, and then you live the rest of the week as practical atheists, which is what a lot of times we end up doing. To some degree or another, we forget God. And so as a result, then our lives become fragmented and inconsistent and confused and conflicted and contradictory and chaotic. And then we go to bed at night with regrets and disappointments and frustrations and tensions. Live coram Deo, before the face of God, in the presence of God, aware of God. And then when things in life go badly, not according to your plan or your will or your desire, acknowledge and submit to God's sovereignty. Be still and know that He is God, who does all things right and wisely and well and for His glory and our good. Rest there. And when things go well and you have enjoyment or success or peace, give Him the glory. Again, acknowledge that it comes from His hand. We have nothing that we have not received out of His grace and goodness. So, wisdom begins with dependence. Wisdom renounces self and self-reliance. Wisdom is comprehensive, which is what we'll see as we make our way through these various topics in these next months, of what how it touches every area of our life. And please, again, I ask you, pray for me. I need wisdom for this. Finally, wisdom rests in God's providence. He will make straight your paths. Now, straight paths do not promise an easy life or a trouble-free journey. That's not what that word means. It promises God's faithful guidance and His providential direction and His presence as we walk under His wisdom and will. The crooked road is straight for the person who has the faith to see God's hand in it. Someone, an ancient saint, said, "How sweet is the hand of providence to them that have faith to see it." So the straight path is not the easiest path, but it's the path that leads home. Remember the Israelites wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and remember that it was their sin that created that whole problem. They had the opportunity to go right into the promised land, but they got in there and they got scared. They saw giants and they didn't trust God. They didn't believe God was big enough for what it looked like in there. And so they leaned on their own understanding, and they ended up wandering in the wilderness until that entire generation died in the wilderness. But were they abandoned by God? No. Remember the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that were for the Israelites, their North Star? their fixed point for navigation, when to move, when to not move, when to stay, when to turn, what to do, where to go. The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire were a reminder of God's unwavering guidance and protection and presence, and an encouragement to them to trust in His plan and in His timing. And they guided the people all the way to the promised land. Now, do you sort of wish that we had a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, something, you know, really tangible, really something we could see that could guide us on the straight path? And of course, we do have that. We have Christ and His Word, and we have the fire of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who teaches us from Scripture what is true and good and right, and what is the way that we should walk in. Jesus is the wisdom of God. Jesus lived this Proverbs 3 text. He lived it in the flesh, and He set an example for us in it. He trusted the Father completely. He sought to do the Father's will. Didn't He say, "Thy will, not my will"? He sought the Father's will more than His own. He turned from evil. He lived Coram Deo. Another ancient saint said, "The greatest wisdom in the world is to know the will of God and to do it." So this is my urging plea to us, is to pray and to ask and to seek and to cry out for wisdom, to be earnest in this. God is the God of all wisdom, and He delights to give it to those who ask. And we're raising the bar. We're being challenged here to seek wisdom, to get wisdom, to press in, to, as I mentioned, one way is to read the chapter of Proverbs that corresponds to that day in the month. Today, read chapter 26. And if you miss a day or two, just go with the day. Eventually, you'll get them all. And as we leave this morning, ask these five questions of yourself. Where am I currently leaning on my own understanding, my own feelings, my own wants and desires? Where am I currently leaning on my own? What decision am I trying to make without serious prayer and seeking wisdom? What area of life have I not acknowledged God in? Am I wise in my own eyes? What evil do I need to turn from today? Imagine yourself standing at a trailhead, and it's dense fog, and one path is wide, it's familiar, and it's crowded. And the other is narrow, and it's hard. But there's a guide there who knows the mountain perfectly. Proverbs 3 says, don't follow the crowd. Don't trust your instincts alone. And don't make yourself the guide. Trust the Lord. The one who calls you to trust Him is the one who has already gone before you. He has walked the path. He's died for your foolishness. He's been risen for your justification. And He gives you His Spirit so that you can learn day by day how to live wisely in a foolish world. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Father, wise God, You've told us in Your word that You oppose the proud, but that You give grace to the humble. And so we humble ourselves before You under Your mighty hand so that, Lord, in Your wisdom and in Your will and in the proper time, You will lead and guide us and raise us up. Lord, as Your word says, we want to cast all of our anxieties on You because You are the one who cares for us with perfect wisdom and grace and help. So would you guide us in this journey, I pray, every step of the way, and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.